Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Mike, I guess we'll start off with just the takeaway from yesterday.
Well, first of all, I just was talking to Joe off the air. You know, Ben Roethlisberger out for the year with the elbow injury. And, again, this is why I get frustrated when players like Donald Driver said this, Aaron Rodgers says this. Oh, yeah, I'd like to play till I'm 40. No, the game will decide how long you get to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's career-ending for Big Ben, but it's, you know, season-ending. But, man, what a weird game. There's so many just going over the tape of yesterday's game, there's so many layers to the onion, things I've been peeling back and things I've been trying to figure out. And everyone is saying, how could Green Bay jump out to that 21-0 lead? The offense looks so beautiful, and then it drops off, and you start saying, okay, three series, five plays. That's about 15 plays, and then the light bulb goes on. Oh, wait a minute, that would be like the first 15 scripted plays, right? Or this summer, Matt LaFleur said he actually liked to script it out to 20 plays. And so after the last couple of weeks, maybe we recommend that LaFleur script the first 60 plays.
Yeah, well, that might not be bad.
You know, because that's where they start to sort of get in some trouble. And then other strange things that happen is this. You're up 21-0. And then you get this momentum shift when Darnell Savage gets a hand on a ball that's intended for Stephon Diggs at the Minnesota 44, and Preston Smith comes up with the interception. So Rodgers and the offense, they take back over. They got this lead. Now let's just throttle this thing, right? You're up 21-0. So you go, you're at the Minnesota 47-yard line. Aaron Jones runs the ball for eight yards. Then he goes off tackle for 4 yards. Then he goes up the middle for five, and you're moving the ball, and you're getting to the two-minute warning, and Aaron Rodgers is coming up to the line. Now, when it gets to the 2 minutes, Aaron Rodgers takes over and calls the plays. He's no longer getting plays from the sidelines in the radio helmet. That's just the way LaFleur has agreed to let Rodgers run the offense. He calls the plays in when they get the two-minute warning. And everyone thinks it's fourth down, and Aaron Rodgers is running a running play where he hands off to Jamal Williams and Linville Joseph. They're all lined up. They think it's fourth and one, like the Packers are going to go for it on fourth and one. So why would you run Jamal Williams into this, eight-man front? And Aaron Rodgers, as he described it, as a bonehead play, this is what he was seeing from his vantage point.
I looked over at Carl Johnson, the line judge, and he had spotted first down. It looked from my vantage point that it might have been a positive questionable spot for us. And under two, that's a booth review. So I just wanted to get us on the ball quickly. From the time it took Carl to spot the ball to whatever happened when I went inside, I just assumed first down because when he put the ball down, I was looking at the first down marker and it's clearly past the line to gain. So I don't know what happened when it came back inside, but obviously I thought it was first down there, and it was definitely not first down. It was fourth down. So that was a bad, just a bad play by me.
So was it a bonehead play because you didn't?
Well, I don't make plays like that. I know I'm always pride myself on having really good clock awareness and game awareness. I just assumed first down based on the spot, and I should have just looked and made sure it was first and not a fourth, because obviously fourth and one, we don't want to run that play. Now first down with a minute 50 and a running clock and in their territory, run is a good call in a two-minute situation. much to my surprise, as I came out of the fake there and realized it was fourth down. So that's that'll earn me an extra finger of scotch tonight, probably.
Now, there you go. I guess calling about wrong play will drive you to drink. That's the lesson we take away from the game.
Well, this is so and uncharacteristic of Aaron Rodgers to make that kind of a mental mistake and in fact, you know, admit to it and talk about it. And, you know, 3 years ago when we made the trip up to Chico, California, Pleasant Valley High, where he played high school quarterback and then Butte College, and we talked to his coaches about, when did you think you had a potential NFL quarterback? And none of those guys really did, except maybe when he got to Butte. I talked to Ron Souza, which was a guy that Aaron really liked working, playing for baseball and for football. He was his JV coach. And I said, when did you know that Aaron was a good quarterback? And Ron talked about a time when Aaron was probably 15 or 16, and the quarterback of the JV squad of the Vikings at Pleasant Valley High up in Chico.
On the JV football team, and we're playing a crosstown rival, set of about 9,000 people, and we are down by 3 points with about a minute 45 to go, and he takes us on a 60-yard drive, and we're running our no-huddle offense, and he takes us on a 60-yard drive, on which we're running different formations in, and he's so calm. He's got his hand up. We have 12 guys on the field, Mike. We're running an ace set, but we have two tight ends, two receivers. So it should be a single back, but our running back didn't get off. Now we're with 12 people on the field. So I start to, and before I can even say a word, he puts his hand up, like, relax, believe it or not. Just puts his hand up. Got it. He is so calm. He then throws a 20-yard strike for a touchdown and gets away with 12. Nobody knew we had 12 guys on the field. The officials had no. He was so calm, so under control. And he knew we had 12. He knew we were tying. We were out of timeouts. We couldn't stop the clock, so just run the play. And it was so calm, it looked so normal. Nobody saw a thing. Of course, it was the winning touchdown, and it was over. And to me, that is just, you don't get that from me. I've had some great drives by high school kids, don't get me wrong, right? But to know the situation, know we're out of timeouts, just be very calm. We're going to do this with 12 people, and nobody's going to know. It was just incredible to me.
Look, there's nobody denying Aaron Rodgers not the smartest guy in the room. I just think that the one thing he did was he saw the spot, thought it was a first down, knew it was going to be controversial. The one thing he didn't see is the official actually signal first down, because I also thought that the side judge started to wave the sticks forward too, because I think he thought it was a first down. So he did everything right. It's just the one guy that mattered was the actual official in the middle of the field who did not make it a first down.
What I loved about that story about Rodgers in high school is to say, if we call a timeout, we're going to lose the game. So let's just run the play and see if we can get out of here and get away with this. And they did win the game. Now, the question is, Matt LaFleur, who was play calling his 18th NFL game, if you can count, you know, last year's offensive coordinator with Tennessee, did he know about the down and distance? Why didn't he say something to Aaron Rodgers in the headset, like, hey, wait, whoa, you know, it's fourth down. Well, you know, but the fact, as you heard Rodgers say, he thought they had a favorable spot. He didn't want the refs to second guess it, so he gets his team up to the line. Quick, let's run a run play because it's first down, and you know, let's just take over this. Let's secure the first down. And here's what LaFleur said.
I'll say this: I got to do a better job of communicating to Aaron in that situation. He thought it was a first down, and I've got to let him know that. We're gonna take points there, but you know it is what it is. You live and learn. But again, that falls on me right there.
Was there time to take a time out there for you?
Well, we jumped the ball pretty fast, and you know, in hindsight, yeah, there probably was where I could have burned the timeout.
So, Matt, did you know, based on the way they were responding to the ball, it looked like he had gained the first down?
Yeah, I assumed it was fourth down because I didn't see a. You know, the official signal for the first down. So, but I got to do a better job in the headset communicating to Aaron and letting him know.
Look, it happens so fast. I just don't know if Matt LaFleur would have been able to stop Aaron Rodgers other than just say, hang on a second. And who knows, even if he would have, if he didn't get his explanation in time, whether or not Aaron would have even stopped. You know what I mean? Because Aaron would have thought that he saw something that was completely different.
Yeah. But whatever. That's why, you know, people saying, why didn't they kick a field goal there? Because that would have been a 41, 42-year-old field goal.
Right.
And that's why.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. You've got some really solid defense, though, being played by this Packers team right now. We'll talk more about that. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget, right now, over at Quick Trip, they got a lot going on. You can stop in and get registered for the Packers opening drive. You can do that. You can also check out some of the specials they have going on right now, like the dollar for Karuba coffee, any size, by the way. Clements broad packages, only $1.99. And the breakfast combos right now. You get the breakfast combo sandwich and the cappuccinos, $3.49 or $3.99 for the Angus or the bagel sandwich. All that over at our friends at Quick Trip. And don't forget to download the Quick Rewards app. Put it on your phone and get your Quick Rewards card. Get signed up and start earning points and cash back right now. That is from our friends at Quick Trip. More Mike Clements right after this. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, look, they battled all day in that secondary. And for the most part, the Packers secondary, yet again, they won.
Two times that Stephon Diggs got wide open, man, there was one play in the south end zone on the right-hand side, and he had two steps on everybody, and Kirk Cousins missed him. I mean, just missed him. But essentially, the Packers' defense, they come through again. They come up with the, you know, the interception, this time by Kevin King, that's in the end zone that prevents what could have been a go-ahead touchdown. And really, they held the Vikings to three explosive plays. The long ball there to Stephon Diggs for the 45-yard pass. And then Delvin Cook. Man, that run, when he ran off to the left side. By the way, Mike Pettine had just taken Kenny Clark off the field at nose tackle for some reason for like two snaps. And then Cook busts one for 75 yards. He runs off left tackle. He cuts right. And you saw his speed against the safety that was just floating there, the rookie Savage, and just blow past him. I mean, Cook might be the best running back in the NFL right now. He had one for 85 yards a couple weeks ago in the preseason. You know, you look at his numbers, 154 yards. He averaged 7 yards a carry, but that's because of the one that he breaks away. If you look at the other 19 carries that he had, that came out to about 79 yards, and that averages about 4.1 yards per carry. That's still pretty good. But for the most part, the Packers figured out a way to contain him and the way they played their defense. But over in the Vikings locker room, it's funny how the tables are turned. A year ago, the Packers end up in that 29-29 tie after Clay Matthews sacks Kirk Cousins, looked like a quarterback sack, and they called it unnecessary roughness on the quarterback, roughing the quarterback. And they give the ball back to the Vikings. They get another series, and they end up, you know, eventually turning that game into a tie. And, you know, Clay Matthews went through that point of emphasis thing. They take these rules and they emphasize him for a month or something, and he got nailed with that three times. This year, it's the holding penalties, and it's his OPI, offensive pass interference. They called that like three times in that game yesterday. You know, Stephon Diggs had a touchdown denied when they called offensive pass interference on the running back, Delvin Cook, who had his hands on a guy in the backfield there. And Stephon Diggs was at his locker. He didn't even know what happened on that play. And then later in the quarter, he had a nice 15-yard reception, and they claimed that he had his hands on the guy that was covering him. And so we talked to him at his locker about the OPIs that the Vikings were charged with.
Yeah, I feel like it was a point of emphasis this game. I feel like they went the extra mile trying to emphasize it as a whole. So we just got to watch the tape and kind of figure out what's what, because I don't know the calls anymore, right? I mean, I haven't seen it on tape. I don't know if I pushed off. I asked him at halftime. He said you can't close fist, use your shoulder, you can't extend it at all. So, I mean.
Which referee did you ask?
Last couple.
56.
56?
Was the ref.
Okay. Was the ref?
Yeah. So, you know, they're trying to track down which ref and, you know, track that down for the story. For the second week in a row, the Packers end up making a kind of a controversial quarterback miserable. Last week, it's all the trades that the Bears made for Trubisky. This week, it's $84 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. And, you know, and Radio Joe knows this, for some reason, I just have this knack after these games when it's time to get to the elevator and race down to the locker room. Like, it seems like four to five times I end up riding down with the visiting owner. Joe knows that. We were in Dallas, and I said, he follows me, and all of a sudden we turn around, we get on the elevator, and Jerry Jones gets on with us.
Yeah.
And then we're down in Dallas. It just happens all the time. And so yesterday, elevator's open, and then they say, oh, no, there's like some sheriff deputies. They said, sir, you can't come on. And then I look, and it's Ziggy Wolf and his people. And then Mr. Wolf says, let him come on. So I come on, I go, well, thank you, Mr. Wolf. And there was dead silence. These people had just lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we go down, and you're looking at him, and you think about this guy that built this empire with Target stores and then buys an NFL franchise. Or like Arthur Blank down there with the Falcons, the team that they mopped up the floor with last week,
right?
Who built Home Depot and all the homes. And I would say, you know, Arthur Blank is Atlanta, Ziggy Wolf is Minneapolis. He's built a new stadium for the Vikings and a brand new facility that might be better than what the Packers have at this point. He's spending all this money to make these Vikings win, and still he loses a game like that yesterday. I mean, these guys were able to build multi-empires in business. They still can't win a Super Bowl in the NFL. That's what it must be frustrating for these guys. And then they got a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, who got paid $84 million guaranteed and comes up with a passer rating of 52.9.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. There's no doubt about it.
And then, you know, he throws the two picks. He loses a fumble. And he puts it all on himself after the loss yesterday. So then we went back over to the Packers locker room and talked to Corey Linsley, the center, about the offense. And, you know, he had the low snap fumble. Where Rodgers took a beating, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Game. You know, as the game wore on, it was moving pretty slow afterwards. But how the offense, the Packers offense, gets off to that really fast start and then struggled throughout the game, and how much, you know, how good is your defense? Could your defense, you know, keep you guys in this game and get you to the postseason?
They're pretty good, man. We knew that in camp. You know, we were kind of like, in camp, we were like, man, I think these guys are pretty good, you know, and then they ended up being really good. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of football left to play, but we have a lot of confidence in those guys. And honestly, you know, there were some gritty wins. They were not pretty, you know, especially last week. But all in all, being 2-0 after these two wins, and especially having a lot of room to grow, step in the right direction, extremely encouraging. And just from that aspect, I think that there was a lot of left on the field, obviously. And I think some instances, I know that I had obviously a critical error with the snap, and I got to get better at that, something that I'm not used to, and you know, I just got to keep working at it in practice. And so there were some errors like that where it just kind of, you know, the game got in a funk, and we kind of got there was that lull where we really didn't put up any points in the second half, obviously. So but just from pure run game standpoint, I think we did a pretty good job. You know, we'll have to take a look at the film, but that's got to be encouraging moving forward.
It does, and he's right. You know, offensively speaking, Mike, they didn't really play real well down in Chicago for the entire game, and at least they got a quarter of surgeon-esque performance out of that offense. So if they can continue to expand upon that over the next four games, they should play almost a perfect game, you would figure.
Yeah, I also think an unsung hero in yesterday's game is Dean Lowry.
Yeah.
They cut Mike Daniels. They gave Dean Lowry a contract, younger, and just seems to be all over the field. And, you know, maybe if he doesn't lead the team in tackles, but he's doing his job. He's containing. He's getting pressure on the quarterback. He recovered a fumble yesterday. You know, those three explosive plays, one of them was the one to Chad Beebe that ended up setting up what ended up being the Vikings field goal. But that, like, 60-yard, you know, catch and run that Beebe had, remember, you know, Cousins was almost down on the field. It was an amazing throw. He got the ball out as he was being sacked, and Beebe just grabbed it and ran up the middle with it and, you know, got into deep into Packer territory. So I talked to Dean Lowry about, you know, save those three plays. You got to be encouraged by your defense's performance against the Vikings.
Overall, very good. Like you said, those three plays, I think we're going to watch in the film room and kind of, you know, want those back. But I think we're really encouraged with our progress the past 2 weeks of really stopping them. They didn't really have any long, you know, drives, so I think we take pride in that. And a lot of times in the red zone, we held them to the field goal. So if we can do that, we'll be a great defense.
Dean, you personally, you had a lot of pressure today.
You
seemed to be where the action was. And it seems like Mike Patton trusts you at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the stat sheet doesn't, you know, tell that, you know, maybe. But overall, you know, I forced some bad throws, and, you know, I was right in Cousins' face on that pick by Kevin. So that was a big play in the game. And just being disruptive, you know, just being active. The stats may not show it, but as long as I'm, you know, doing my job and getting penetration in the run game and also push in the pass game, you know, that's a big part of the defense.
I mean, Cook is incredibly fast, but outside of that, it looked like you guys were pretty good at anticipating what the action was going to be in the backfield. And then you're getting help from Preston and Zadarius.
Yeah, those guys. And also, you know, Blake, you know, in the middle linebacker. There's plenty of times where we may have gotten reached, but Blake, you know, saw that right away and came downhill. So he really read off us really well. And that's important against zone schemes to, you know, work with your linebackers on that. So that was a big part of our success. And also, like you said, Preston and Z setting edges.
So, and you know, the other guy that we talked about, Mike, during the postgame presser was Lancaster. I saw him a couple of times get pressure. He was a guy that they had to hold, to hang on to. He's just been one that – he's another one, an unsung guy, but he's just a workhorse. Blake Martinez alerted me to him last year and said, you really got to watch this guy because he's just lighting it up in practice, and he's going to end up making a name for himself. So they've got some depth. They've got some guys, and now we'll just see if they continue to play defensively anyway. That made me a believer that the defense is pretty good. Now we just can see if the offense can continue on. So, good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Mike Clemens, our NFL Sirius insider. He joins us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Schneider Hiring Drivers right now. And don't forget this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. We are going to be at Who's on Third coming up Thursday night. Dennis Krause going to be there. Also, Scott Grotzky is going to be there. Scott Grotzky from CBS 58 and from Spectrum News 1 is going to be Dennis Krause. We're going to have a good time. So come on out and join us at Who's on Third coming up on Thursday night, 6 to 8 on many of these same stations.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.